Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So, of course, the temptation is always to kind of talk about the news of the day, to dive into politics. I mean, but you're going to hear about that all the time, whether you want to or not. So here on Call to Action Radio, of course, we do that. We talk about politics occasionally. We talk about theology every week. We talk about what's going on in the news, pop culture, whatever. But one of the favorite things that I get to do with the show that the Lord has put me in charge of is to just share not what I think, not what I'm doing, but what God is doing in and through other people. And today we'll have the pleasure of doing that for the entire hour. So to get your mind and your heart and kind of your attention pointed in the right direction, just follow me down this little road right quick. So you got broken girls, abused, broken girls, struggling girls. You have broken horses. I mean, abused, struggling, abandoned horses. So broken horses, broken girls, broken horses, a passion to care for both. And then by God's grace to see both of them care for one another. And this is a beautiful story that deserves to be told. And it's another story of God just doing what only God can do. But it does involve his people, and his people can be involved in these miraculous things when they simply show up and have a desire to help and to serve and to care, especially for other people. And that's exactly what you're going to hear about today. Joy Curry is with me, the founder of Corral Writing Academy, which is here in the area where I live, Cary, North Carolina. It's a really cool story. It's definitely a God story. There's a lot to it. So whether you're a Christian or not, whether you have daughters or not, if you are a daughter, if you know anybody from a broken background, even if you have a passion for horses, we have a lot of friends here in the area that do. And if you love animals, there's going to be something in here for all of us, and certainly something as we go through the story that will continue to glorify God. Joy, welcome to Call to Action.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's good to have you. And this is, we have air conditioning this time. The first time we met was at the farm.
Right.
Which was really cool. And then to find out that, so there's this beautiful farm. You go to the website, and you can go check that out, which is at corralwriting.org. But, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, this is a farm and there's a farmhouse over there. But I didn't realize that whole area, Joy, was a part of your own family background and part of your own history. So let's, before we kind of get into that, how do you describe somebody? You run into somebody in an elevator and, sure, and they say, what do you do? What do you say?
Well, Corral, I'm the executive director and founder of Corral, and Corral pairs at-risk teenage girls with rescued horses for healing, and ultimately we get to see God's redemption take place at our farm. We do this because we believe that really no matter how much a person, a horse, life has been broken, yeah, it can be redeemed and become whole again. And we get to see that blessing happen every day.
Yeah, you get to see it happen every day. It's been going on since 2008. But let's get in the Wayback Machine, which for some of us goes a little further back than for others. But this really have to go all the way back, I would imagine, into your childhood to kind of trace what God had placed in you, your love of horses and riding, into what he's doing through Corral. So take us back there.
Absolutely. God's been preparing me for this since I was four, really. I came home from kindergarten and found my first horse just after he'd been born. And my sister said, hey, you can have him. He's yours.
Family farm?
Yes. My dad, I'm one of five, and my dad's a research geneticist, a plant breeder. And so he was doing his research and starting his own business on a little farm outside of Cary. As part of his deal, he wanted us to learn how to raise animals. So the horses were the animal for the year. And, he said, you know, you can have this one. And, I was the only one of the five that really became a horse person.
Really?
And, so that horse really walked me through my adolescence and was my best friend. And I got to see what it's like to have a 1,000-pound animal as your best friend when life gets tough. My adolescence was not pretty. I rebelled quite a bit, and I made a few mistakes and had a fair amount of hurt. But I grew up in a privileged home with a strong family, and so I had the protective factors to get me through that and on the other side of it, something that the girls in my program don't, yeah, necessarily have.
So what was that when you're having a bad day, a bad month, whatever period of time you want to look at back then? What was it? What was your horse's name?
Rebel.
Rebel. Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. So what was it about? You would go out and spend time with Rebel, but what was happening when you spent that time with your horse?
There's a certain amount of understanding when you feel isolated, particularly in your adolescence, when you feel like nobody gets you, your friends don't necessarily get you, your parents definitely don't get you, and you get to walk out in that field and take your shoes off and walk around and have this ultimate freedom with this being who wants to be with you. And I remember distinctly sitting down with my horse as he would untie my shoes and play with me in the field.
Wow.
And you get this relationship that's more than a relationship with a dog or a cat. It's almost like another person. I got to have Rebel for over 30 years. So he really did become a member of my family. And so when you have that isolated sense as a teenager, and especially a teenage girl, and you get to go be with somebody who you feel like really gets you and understands you, that's when you get to be kind of your authentic self.
Yeah.
And real healing can take place in those moments when it's just you and your horse and the Lord.
Yeah.
who's really watching over us.
That's really cool. So you go off to college, and mm-hmm. what's your plan at that point?
So I started at UCLA, actually. I went out there on a swimming scholarship, and my parents asked me to come back home to Chapel Hill, so I graduated from Chapel Hill. But when I first started, I thought, I'm going to be a doctor. I wanted to be a pediatric oncologist.
Wow.
Man, I'm glad God did not call me to that. I would have been a terrible doctor. So I probably changed careers like 6 times in college, as most college kids do. And on my way out, I really felt like I wanted to impact the world. So I applied for Teach for America, just kind of tossed my name in the hat, trying to see where's this going to go. And I got into Teach for America. And that experience was so instrumental in who I am today, what Corral is today. I taught in inner city Philadelphia and got to see some really tough stuff.
Yeah, that's a tough place.
Yeah, yeah. It's not easy. But Teach for America was a strong organization. It was a really hard 2 years, I'm not going to lie. It was a feeling of isolation for sure. It was a feeling of being lost because I'm sitting here seeing sort of the ugliness of our culture and going, there are no solutions. And so there was a ton of desperation during that time. I came to be a savior in the school system. I came to, you know, turn all these kids' lives around. And then to find that the odds were really stacked against me was really tough.
Yeah, you can't just pull it off. It's not that easy.
Right.
And then of course, you went on and got a graduate degree. And then from there, we're gonna pick it up there when we're talking to Joy Curry, who's the founder of Corral Riding Academy here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, down in Cary, North Carolina. It's a beautiful story how God weaves all this together. And then how he uses a love of horses and a care for the lost and the confused and the broken to bring about his glory and to reach into people's lives. It's an awesome story. We're going to pick it up there when we come back.
This is where I say I don't need to have control. This is where I admit.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Hope you're having a great Friday. This will definitely make it a better Friday. We're talking to Joy Curry today. She's the founder of the Corral Riding Academy, which is here in the area where I'm broadcasting from, Cary, North Carolina. Beautiful area. And it's really an amazing story of what God, and he can do this. This isn't just a story about Joy and what God has done at Corral Riding Academy. If you start thinking about things that you've loved to do your whole life, turn that corner a little bit and think, well, where did that stuff come from? Where did these loves, these desires, these interests, these passions come from? And then imagine that you could actually take these things that you love doing anyway and begin to use them to bless other people, to reach other people, to bless the Lord, and to change the culture around you. And all the while, you're doing something that you love to do anyway. Now, that's actually what the abundant life is all about. I think we tend to really minimize what God can do in our lives and go, well, not me. And there's something totally radically different and special about Joy. And while, yes, there's all kinds of awesome things that God has done, Joy, your story should not be abnormal. It should be normal.
Absolutely.
Because God has placed all of that stuff in all of us and all of his followers.
He's been preparing me for this.
Exactly
for a long
right.
time.
So you love horses growing up. You've got Rebel. That's really cool. 30 years. I didn't know that horses lived that long. That's really cool. Off to college. Then you're teaching. You spend time in the inner city of Philadelphia. Then you went to grad school. So what was the plan so go get more education.
Right. So I went to then teach in New York, and I helped found a charter school in New York. And that was an amazing experience. That experience really gave me that hope that I didn't have in Philadelphia that things could be different. I worked at a charter school, and over 90% of our kids were receiving free and reduced lunch. So there were kids from Bed-Stuy, rough neighborhoods in Brooklyn. And we brought them in as fifth graders, and they were some of the lowest performing kids in the city, 3, 4, even 5 grade levels behind as fifth graders. But as seventh graders, they were some of the highest performing kids in New York City. So in just 2 years, the team that I taught with was able to close that gap. And I saw how that happened. And it was really just a team of really invested, caring adults who were willing to bridge the gap for each kid and believe in them. So when that happened, I really got the fire. I was like, this is my career. This is my calling. This is where I'm going. So I went to grad school.
Were you thinking in the confines of education?
Absolutely. I was thinking I want to start a charter school just like this. I want to keep going. So I went to get my master's in education at Columbia in school leadership, and I was ready to go out and be a school leader. And man, did God have something different in mind for me. Right about that time, I also met my husband. And we met and got married very quickly.
What's his name?
Rob Curry.
Hi, Rob.
Rob got a job coincidentally in my hometown in Cary, North Carolina. And so we moved back to North Carolina, a plan I'd never anticipated doing, and found myself going, well, the ed reform movement isn't very vivacious down here. At the time, there's a cap on the charter schools, and I felt like there was really no place for me. So I just started to look around and kind of take inventory of what my gifts and my talents really were and how I could serve the Lord. And an instrumental sermon for both my husband and I was we were at church, and our pastor was talking about our idols and what in your life are you not willing to give up for the Lord. You know, you're ready to pick up your cross and follow the Lord, but there's something that will stop you. And what is that? And I started thinking about all the things in my life that I enjoy and that I wasn't really willing to give up. And one of them was horses. So I sort of said, God, if it's your will, take this from me, or give me a way to serve you through horses. And that's when kind of everything started to open up for me. I worked for a woman who ran a large horse farm, and she found out about my love for kids in need and sort of my background in education and my vision for something like Corral. And she just gave me no choice but said, you got to do this. So I began to survey people in our local sort of county.
And was this just at a regular like riding place town?
Yeah. It was a riding school where, you know, they taught kids how to walk, trot, canter on.
Which is big around here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. There's a lot of that going on here.
And I was leading the program at the time, and but I still wasn't fulfilled. You know, it was just horses for the sake of riding. It wasn't the kids that I was feeling called to. So I just began talking to different folks in our county, law enforcement and juvenile justice in the schools, and saying, you know, what's the need? I have these skills. I have a master's in education. I have horses in my backyard.
Because your parents were living.
They were still living on the farm. And
on
my
the
horse,
farm.
Rebel, was still there.
Was still there.
So I have this farm. I have these horses. I have all these resources to bring to the table. What do you need? And that's when I learned there was a need for the kids who are most at risk in our county. So Corral was sort of born out of that need. Initially, we just said, hey, look, we're going to take the kids who are most at risk in our county, and we're going to pair them with horses and give them a leg up in life. That was kind of the initial vision.
So what day one looked like? Like how many girls? Where'd they come from? What was that like?
Yeah, so day one was one girl and one horse.
Wow.
And it was a girl referred to us from Wake County Human Services. She had experienced a lifetime of abuse. She was one of five kids that had been permanently removed from her home because of years of sexual abuse and violence. And she was forever changed because of that. You know, the trauma had altered her brain. So I'm looking at the seventh grader who is developmentally delayed because of the abuse she's experienced and has no real drive in life at all. And she learns that she can ride horses, and she is now excited probably for the first time in life. And she lives to come to the farm every single afternoon and ride horses. That's all she cares about. That's all she can think about. She doesn't care about school. She doesn't care about friendships. She doesn't care about relationships because they have no meaning to her. She's never had a real mom or a real dad, so she has no sense of family.
So the horse relationship completely outside of her life's experience.
Right. And so she gets to have this relationship with this being that she feels like for the first time might be just be unconditional.
At what point did you start to think, okay, there's something's happening here? How long did that take?
Oh, well, I had experienced it myself, right? I had Rebel, and I had been around horse people all my life who also had that amazing bond with an animal. So I knew it was going to happen. So it was happening from day one, and I knew that. The trick, though, was how to make it transformational. So, yeah, a feel-good experience with horses, that's great.
Sure.
I'm glad that I made that child smile. But what I wanted to see is that broken life really become whole again. And that's where it became so much more than what it started out, which is just, let me give you a fuzzy motorcycle to enjoy, and let me actually change your life. So Corral slowly became a very holistic long-term intervention.
Yeah, and at the time, was it, okay, we start with the horse and just building a relationship, mm-hmm. but did you have at the time, and we're coming up on a break, that, okay, this needs to move into other areas, and because now educational's in there, the counseling's in there, dealing with all of these different aspects of their lives in the context of the relationship with the horse and being on a farm out of the regular context for them. But
right.
Was it, hey, we have to have all this stuff pretty quick?
No, initially it was just keep your grades up and stay out of trouble and you can ride horses. Let me just give you this incentive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all you need. But when you see a life that broken, you realize the need is so much greater than just an incentive.
And then when did the second girl come?
So just a few months later, and she was referred to us from juvenile justice. She had gotten in a fight with some kids on the bus and was referred to us through a court counselor.
Yeah, well, we're going to pick it up there. We're talking to Joy Curry, the founder of Corral Riding Academy, which is right here in Cary, North Carolina, real close to where we're broadcasting today. The website, corralriding.org. I've also got the links up at the Facebook page. When we come back, the second girl, the third girl, the fourth girl, and all the holistic aspects that God brought to play, brought to bear on these broken lives, including the broken horses. We'll learn more about both. When we come back, this is Steve Noble, Call to Action. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Talking to Joy Curry, who is the founder of Corral Riding Academy, the website. Get there because it's a great way to kind of get exposed to the story, the horses, the girls, the people that work there, the volunteers, all the different ways that you can get involved, especially if you live here in the Triangle area of North Carolina. Corral is located in Cary, North Carolina, which is kind of a suburb. And it's a beautiful location. I've been there myself. That was probably, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago. And just an incredible story. So you can check it out at the website. CorralRiding.org is the website, or you can find it on the Facebook page or on the email today. If you get the daily emails, you'll see that information there as well. So talking about investing and trying to reach people and see lives change, that's why I mention this every day on the radio. I'll continue to do that with our friends at Transworld Radio. Remember, they're pumping up the volume on that little Caribbean island of Bonaire so that they're going to have, it's going to be the most powerful radio signal in the Western Hemisphere. And the whole purpose is to bathe the island of Cuba with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with solid Christian teaching like you listen to today on these stations that we're blessed to be on. So that's a really cool effort, and you can be a part of that. TruthNetwork.com, just go there. You'll see the banner for Transworld Radio, TruthNetwork.com, and you can be a part of what's going on there. And thank you to everybody that's already kind of given to that and been a part of that effort. It's really awesome to see what's happening. We don't need the federal government to get us into Cuba. The most important thing that we can share with Cubans is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is the way that you can do that. So one girl, the two girl, and then now was it obvious early on, Joy, that, okay, God's doing something here. This is working. We're moving in this positive direction, and things look like they're going to need to build out a little bit.
I think my vision was always about the girls. It was never about how big we were going to get. It was about watching a very broken life become something miraculous and watching a young woman who may not otherwise sort of go anywhere in society become a thriving member of our community. So I'll be honest, I never imagined that it would be as big as it is right now.
Yeah.
And my drive was never about, okay, let's add more girls and more girls and more girls. It was about watching her become whole again. So with every girl, we learned something new about how we could do the practice better and what services the kids actually needed. So when one girl became two girls, we started to see, all right, there's a pattern here of trauma, abuse, neglect, and they need something more than just an incentive and a great relationship with a horse. So we brought in the academic piece. Of course, that was very much within my wheelhouse. The girls were out at the farm 15 hours a week, and we were spending about a third of that time doing homework.
Yeah, just tutoring, yep, basically.
Just, you know, and if they didn't have homework, let's go sit outside and read with the horse. And that was great, except when they didn't show up with their work, or they said that they're doing fine in school and they actually weren't. So then we began coordinating with the schools on actually creating a meaningful intervention and creating high levels of accountability for the girls of, okay, if you're going to get this, you also have to hold up your end of the deal. Yeah. And so we began to hold them accountable for great grades and turning in their assignments and blossoming into the young women we knew they could be.
And what's the age range of the girls that come out to Corral?
11 to 18.
Okay.
And that was great. But then for many girls, you started to see them just not care. And it didn't matter how much you held them accountable and how much pressure you put on them to do well. They just didn't care. And then you start to see that's really more than just lack of effort or anything like laziness. That's depression. That's a tremendous amount of give up of I am not worthy. And so then we knew we needed to bring in mental health at that point. And horses naturally lend themselves to therapy. To work effectively with a horse, you have to actually be a pretty emotionally stable person. So they're amazing therapy animals.
So they pick up on that. You're agitated, you're upset, mm-hmm, and the horse responds.
Absolutely. They're made for this. They know if the wind's blowing, they know if the barometric pressure is changing, they know if a leaf goes across the arena. So they have eyes on the side of their head. They can see 360 degrees around them. They're acutely aware of their environment. They're also aware of our heart rate, of our breathing rate,
wow,
in ways that you and I may not be. And so if you're agitated, frustrated, angry, worried, they're going to sense that in just your heart rate, your breathing rate, you know, physiological responses.
Yeah.
And that's a threat for them. So they may not work cooperatively with you if you're frustrated or angry. And so we immediately saw these kids that had no real control of their emotions, that were experiencing a tremendous amount of depression and anxiety and mental health issues, trying to work with a horse, being ineffective because of what was going on inside their heart. And that's when we knew we needed to bring in professional mental health providers.
Yeah, you got to get into the counseling portion.
So now it's not just horseback riding, but it's horseback riding, it's equine-assisted psychotherapy, and it's academic tutoring. And the neat thing about our program is we walk with girls all the way through their middle and high school years. So they might start with us when they're 11 and stick with us until they're 18. So then it's not only a relationship with a horse, but now we're mentors.
Yeah, you're walking through it with them.
And we're shepherding them through these difficult years.
How does the faith component show up? Because I asked you this question when I was out there visiting the farm, because I know you work with the local school boards and city government, state government, and all that stuff. And of course, most of us go, oh, no, that's trouble. but it really, it's been pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
How God has done that, too.
Absolutely. I worked in the system from the very beginning of my career working as a teacher. So that was a familiar territory for me. What was unfamiliar was bringing in my faith. As I began to watch these lives that were very broken, I knew that, okay, I could have the greatest intervention in the world. I could have the best therapy, the best clinicians, and it doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit's not here. And we saw that specifically one time with a young woman who we were just pouring services into her, and she really wanted to be there, but the change wasn't happening. And we realized, okay, life change only happens with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's a heart level.
Yep, it's absolutely a heart level thing. And so we can't do this without bringing the Holy Spirit here every single day. And moreover, if we think we can do it, we're just going to burn ourselves out. At the end of the day, we have to be able to stop and say, all right, God, this is yours.
Yep.
This is your child.
That's right.
This is your brokenness, and you can fix this. So I'm going to go home and have dinner, and you keep doing your work.
Because, again, it shows up holistically. It's not like here's the program and now open wide, and here comes your Bible study for the day. How do you guys kind of get into those conversations? How does God kind of bring that onto the table?
Well, I think everybody on my team – is doing this because they love the Lord.
Yeah.
And they have been called to it. So it just kind of exudes out of our pores.
And the girls are going to notice that. They're going to pick up.
Absolutely. We're not doing it, obviously, because we're getting paid a lot. And sure, it's fun work sometimes, but it's also really, really hard. I would have quit a long time ago. Had it not been for a calling. So we all very much feel called to this work. And so when a girl's struggling with something, we're praying with them. We're talking them through scripture. It's part of who we are. So it's part of our relationships.
Yeah,
it just shows up. Every single one of our relationships. So we might, you know, every single Saturday morning, we're praying with the girls. We're praying with them as a group through their struggles. We're taking them through scripture and talking about what God's design is for them. And then it's as we are mentors, as we're shepherding them through their lives, faith just becomes a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I tried to tell you it was a programmatic component, it would isolate.
No, that's right.
What the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit. And it's just like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. And so things just begin to happen as you're open to that, as you're loving people well, as you're trying to follow the Lord. And if you're staying close to him, you're empowered by the Holy Spirit and things just come up. They just bubbles. It's his deal to put it all together. We just need to be available and care about people. What about how many girls have gone through and what does success look like?
So we've had over 120 girls come through our farm, and it's been great to see them all. Just yesterday, I got to really see the picture of what success looks like. We had a young woman who joined the program when she was in seventh grade, and I just attended her high school graduation yesterday.
How about that?
So cool. She came to us after her mother had committed suicide. Her mother had committed suicide in front of her little brother.
Oh, God.
And so as a fifth grader, she was adopted by a wonderful family here locally, but she was angry. She was lost. Certainly she wasn't, running to the Lord, by any measure. And, she was not only angry at her mother who committed suicide, but she was angry at the family who adopted her because they weren't her mother. Her family. And so she came in, and within the first few weeks, she told me, "I'm quitting. I'm leaving."
And that was seventh grade.
Yep. "I don't need this. I'm fine."
Because we're coming up on a break, which is why I'm going to ask you this question. So how's the Lord speaking to you yesterday? You're watching this girl graduate from high school. And what's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart? You got about 30 seconds.
This is what's going on in my head is this is why we do this. I just got to see this young woman earn a 3.67.
Wow.
Go to college, take honors and AP courses, and this is blossoming.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? How did that make you feel?
Like this is where I belong.
Yeah. That's so awesome. When we come back, here's something else cool going on. A movie. Somebody's made a movie. It's going to be coming out this fall. It's called Unbridled, all about what God is doing down at Corral Riding Academy. This is Steve Noble with Joy Currie. You're going to hear about that and some more stories when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. The website, same as always, c2atoday.com, c2atoday.com. You can link over to Facebook there and Twitter and all the different ways that we can connect. The blog is there, the podcast, all the previous shows, a lot of different types of news stories, and try to make that a blessing and a resource for you, c2atoday.com. Of course, today talking about a really cool subject and something that a lot of people don't ever think about when you think about horses or animals and then broken people, broken girls in this case, and then how God kind of brings all that together to do some amazing ministry and to watch lives change. And like Joy was sharing with us, and then I'm going to get Christy McLaughlin on here, who's going to tell us a little bit about Unbridled, which is a movie completely based on what God has been doing at Corral Riding Academy. But you see all those things coming together and people using their love of horses and just trying to reach people. And as we make that the center of our lives, when God said, they asked Jesus, okay, what are the greatest commandments? Of course, they're trying to trick him again. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we get that right, and we actually begin to pour ourselves out in service to others, it's amazing what God can do with that. And incorporating things that you love to do anyway, that is the type of abundant life that Jesus talks about. And it's not just for somebody like Joy, and it's not just for somebody like me. It's for every follower of Jesus Christ in some way, shape, or form. God can take all that he's placed in you and use it to bless the world and bring glory to his name and lead people eventually to him too. Super, super cool. So, Unbridled is the name of the movie. Christy McLaughlin, I've known Christy and I've known her husband for several years. And, this is their second film that they've made. And a really, really cool. A Long Way Off was the first one, which was kind of a modern telling of the prodigal son story, but Unbridled, which will be coming out this fall. Christy, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So how did what God's doing at Corral Writing Academy, how did that get on your radar screen?
Well, my daughter, Lindsay, who's 22, has been volunteering at Corral for 2 years. And she has just been so emotionally touched. I know that she has respected Joy tremendously and has actually learned, I think, a lot of the things that the girls had been learning, Lindsay was picking up along the way. Yeah. And so some of the healing that was taking place with the girls took place within Lindsay's heart, because a lot of our youth, even if they're not, you know, going through the court system, you know, can have emotional hurt.
Sure.
And scars and some pain. And so I was seeing her grow, and I didn't really know what she was really involved in. And so a year ago, she invited me to go to their end of the year program and really wanted me to be there. And so I was there, and I just fell in love with Corral. I was amazed at the girls and their stories and their growth, and listening to them speak at the microphone. It just really whet my appetite for wanting to know more about what Corral does. And then I, you know, being kind of in the film industry, and we also market other people's films. And so, you know, it, the kind of topics that really appeal to Christians and to pre-believers really appeal to me, because I like to get that message out. And so we wanted to be able to help Corral, and we wanted to be able to get this message out that here's a really, really neat modality for healing, and it doesn't just have to happen here, and I'm sure that there are other locations around the country, but Corral is a very holistic program as compared to what a lot of other firms are like. So we've gotten a lot of responses since we, you know, just been kind of getting the word out there about Unbridled a little bit. And there are people saying, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And some of the people are not just saying, I want to do that with horses, but I've had it on my heart to do, you know, something else, like to tutor my neighbor because they're latchkey kids and there are, you know, some problems in the family. And I just want to step in. But I didn't know that I could, or I didn't know how to, or I thought it was too small.
Right. And Christy, of course, it's a very inspiring story. And real quick, tell us the storyline real quick, and then tell us when the movie should be coming out.
Okay. Well, Unbridled is about a girl. Her name is Sarah, and she is sex trafficked by her mother's boyfriend. So she's got some pretty significant issues. And so we talked with Joy umpteen times just to try to get, well, what would happen? You know, what might happen in a scenario? How would the mother respond? How would the boyfriend respond? You know, what would happen? So we actually were able to have a tremendously amazing cast. T.C. Stallings, who was the lead in War Room, is one of our leads. He plays Detective Sangren, whose daughter has also been trafficked, and he eventually kind of breaks the case. And then we've got Eric Roberts, who's from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And he was tremendous. He's one of the leads. Day Young. Jen Godson is in a lot of Christian films. Rachel Hendricks was the lead in Baby.
October Baby. I've had her on the show. When will it release, Christy? When do you hope to get the movie
positive.
Out?
We're hoping this fall. We are still in editing. Just got the rough cut last night. It was unbelievably beautiful. And so we're thrilled to be able to release this, to get the word out.
That's awesome.
And hopefully, you know, we can let you guys know. Maybe you can kind of, you know, let your listeners know.
Absolutely.
In the future, once we do have a date.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that, of course. And I really appreciate you doing this. It's a great message, worthy of telling. And it's really cool to hear how God is moving in people's hearts to do, maybe it's not this particular ministry, but doing something to love the people around them. Christy, thanks so much for being on today. And make sure you keep me in the loop and tell your husband I said hi, will you?
All righty. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, you're welcome. Talk to you later. And that's pretty exciting, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, like in 2008, you're thinking, oh, this is so awesome. I know they're going to make a movie about it one day.
Oh, sure. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that was right there on the refrigerator. So let's talk real quick about the Million Dollar Miracle. This is really another great story, what God has done here. And then kind of what's next for Corral, and then how can people get involved, in including people who's it might be your own daughter, it might be a good friend of yours, somebody that you know. But let's do Million Dollar Miracle, and then we'll work on wrapping it up.
God's at work at our farm, and we have gotten to see something just truly miraculous happen over the last 12 months. About 18 months ago, we learned that our farm was going to be going up for sale. A little backstory, I grew up on this farm. It's my family farm. And my dad's 84 years old, and he always told me, you know, when I retire, I'm going to sell. So that wasn't necessarily a surprise. And so I went to my board of directors, said, all right, my dad's ready to sell. We need to find some other place to go. And so we started to pull together a visionary committee and do a little bit of market analysis of where to go. And we learned that our location was essential for our success. Mm. It's in the heart of Cary. We have a farm in sort of a suburban area,
yeah.
If you're not familiar with Cary. It's the only farm left in Cary. And we've got 50 acres, so it's accessible to the kids that we're serving. It's proximate to downtown Raleigh, and it's in the middle of a pretty healthy, thriving community.
Very much so.
So I don't think we would have had the success we've had without that community. So our board said, you know, we need to find a way to stay here. And with that, my dad agreed to subdivide it and give us half of it if we could raise the money for it. So a little grassroots nonprofit, we said, all right, we're going to give it a try. This is the same amount of money we've raised in the last 5 years of our organization. But let's say we had a short period of time, 10 months. Let's try to find 10 months to raise $1 million. And
you say that so casually.
Right.
Which is actually how I found out about you in the first place. Our mutual friend, David Chatham, who works with Angel Oak. And you worked with them to kind of come up with the whole marketing plan, right?
Right. So I said, I need help. So went out to Angel Oak, and they helped me put together a marketing plan. And we put it out to our community. This is our need. And the response was absolutely phenomenal.
What did you think was going to happen when you first started?
I really had no idea. I had, you know, enough contingency plans of, you know, if this doesn't work, Corral's not going to fold. But you know, we're going to have to pull out a contingency plan. So it was really just kind of throwing a dart at the wall. I tried not to get too emotional about the success of it. But we told our community what we needed, and the response was truly incredible. We raised roughly $10,000 a day.
That's mind-boggling.
And if you've ever watched $1 million come in check by check, it's an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
There was over 900 givers as part of the campaign that just, you know, really came to our rescue. People giving anywhere from $10 checks to $100,000 checks. We had one woman call us out of the blue and say, I read an article in the paper today about what you're doing, and I'm sending you $100,000 on the
money. Golly.
So,
sight unseen.
When something like that happens,
hello,
you know it's God.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that was incredible for us to realize this is not Joy Curry's thing. This is not our staff's thing. This is not our board's thing. This is God doing something here, and we're just following his lead.
Yeah, he allows you to come along for the ride and do your part. It's like a kid in the garage, and you think you're doing it, and your dad's building the whole thing. And then he goes, hey, great job. And you're like, hey, thanks, Dad. All right, how can people get involved? Because I know there's people listening who may know somebody, a girl that's hurting. How do people get involved? How can they serve? How can they be a part of what God's doing there?
So go to our website, corralriding.org. There's great ways to get plugged in. We have regular volunteer events that we call Farm Days, and that's a way to get out there and see what we're doing and find a way to get plugged in as a volunteer. We rely upon about 100 volunteers a week just to keep things going. And then we're completely reliant upon donations. You know, we have a button to give there on our website, and we certainly, even though we just raised $1 million, that's just for dirt. So we still have a program to run.
Yeah.
And we need our givers.
And then what about girls and bringing girls into the program?
Yeah. Again, go to our website, refer a girl there.
Awesome. It's been so great to have you, Joy. Thanks so much for your intensity. Thank you for your obedience. And thank you for sharing this incredible story. It's really been great. Go to the website, corralriding.org, corralriding.org, or you can find the links on my Facebook page, too. I'll be on the road starting on Sunday, but it's Where's Waldo next week, so I'm taking the show with me. I'll be doing the show from St. Louis on Monday, Atlanta on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. So don't run away, because I'll be here. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.